This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, Ember Wednesday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
New sign shall be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. In the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is one of those portions of the scriptures, and scriptures are supposed to be taken very gravely, but this one always brings a smile to my face. And it's not because it's funny. It's because of the incredulous nature of the Pharisees and the scribes. We ask our Lord that they will have of him a sign. The signs that this man has provided already, there is no question whatsoever that our Lord is the Messiah. He's fulfilling all of the signs that are supposed to be. This man has fed thousands of people with a couple loaves and fishes. The man has cured lepers. He has made blind people see. We'll have a sign from you. It is eye-rolling to think of how, as I said, incredulous they are, how doubting, how, you know, this isn't a matter of just being unaccepting of facts. This shows the differentiation between, as the New Testament goes on to say, that people who don't have the Holy Spirit cannot discern spiritual things. It doesn't matter how well you explain them. It doesn't matter how articulate the explanation. It doesn't matter what kind of miraculous signs you even show. They won't believe it. The Pharisees, as our Lord is being crucified, what do they look up and say to him? Oh, come down from the cross and then we'll believe. They would not have even believed if that happened. They would not have believed. They would have said that it was some kinds of conjuring that went on. It was demonic. Or, you know, see, he was possessed. He came down from the cross. They would not have believed because they did not have eyes to see or ears to hear. Just this question of itself, show us a sign. What do they mean from a temporal perspective? What do they mean a sign? They want to see another miracle. They want to see something that is done, that's tremendous, that can't be explained by any kind of natural explanation. They want a miracle. Show us another one. Not that he hasn't shown them already, but they want a miracle. Our Lord Jesus Christ responds. I like some of the other gospel presentations. Luke really kind of churches it up a tad. Matthew, for instance, this wicked and perverse generation, no sign will be given it. Our Lord's response isn't, no, I'm out of signs. I'm not going to do anymore. He doesn't even approach it like that. He changes the whole meaning of what a sign is and what the kind of the signs he's giving them. Our Lord even addresses his own apostles and he, you know, don't believe what I say, but believe the works for the work's sake. You know, even a simple person can understand the works for the work's sake, but there's much more to a miracle than just an ostentatious display of God's power. That's not why our Lord did miracles. There had been prophets that had done miracles. Moses parted the Red Sea. God did it through him, but Moses was the one who did it. Nobody saw God do it. Moses did it. So men had performed miracles. Our Lord tries to give these Pharisees an understanding of what a sign truly is. Again, it's just not a display of God's power. It points us to a direction. It gives us a heads up on something. And our Lord tries to let them know this. Sign is not a miracle, but it's a way to salvation. Every sign that had ever been given pointed to salvation. The parting of the Red Sea. You know, it's when he took the people out of Egypt. Well, if you just look at it as a sign, yeah, that's all it is. But if you understand Jesus Christ and you understand salvation, it is a manifestation, a sign of what he's going to ultimately do. Yes, he brought a small group of people out of bond slavery in Egypt, and he brought them out through the Red Sea. But we have this understanding that it was a sign of what he was going to do by bringing people out of the darkness of sin into the marvelous light of the Catholic Church. It was a sign of baptism because they went through the sea. Okay, there's all kinds of signs that had to do with our salvation, just not a display of, whoa, isn't God awesome? Look what he did with the Red Sea. Our Lord tries to fix this. He doesn't approach the whole matter from a standpoint of, no, I'm just not going to do anything for you because I'm getting sick of you asking, or this is enough, and you're not going to see another sign. We have to appreciate, again, the fact that he is pointing them towards salvation. You know, this ultimately comes to the fore in the cross. You know, we look at a cross, we shouldn't be looking at an artwork. That's a beautiful crucifix. That's a beautiful crucifix. As a matter of fact, a crucifix taken for what it should not be beautiful. It should be ugly. It should show what our Lord endured for us, because it is a sign of something that elicits from within us a tremendous transformation. A transformation from what we were before to what we are now, or what we hope to be eventually in all eternity. This is a sign. So there we have the sign of the cross that we do on ourselves. Every time we come in, we dip our finger in holy water. We make a sign of the cross. There are so many different ways to look at that. Remind us of our baptism because we use holy water. It should remind us of the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ endured for us. It should remind us of the cross that he hung on for. There's all kind of signs going on there, but they all point to salvation in Jesus Christ. And our Lord says this generation is not going to have another sign. They're not going to have another miracle. This generation. What is he? This generation. Faithless. The faithless ones. The ones who don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. I mean, we deal with that. We're dealing with that now. This faithless generation. I mean, look at what is going on around us in the world, even in the church. Faithlessness abounds. Our Lord Jesus Christ pointed that out. It happened in his day. This is getting worse. This is a faithless, and as he said in Matthew, an adulterous and a perverse generation. We need to appreciate that's always going to be like that. And it's not a matter of wagging our heads at them and pointing fingers at them. It's appreciating what we have. And this is not triumphalism. It is a matter of trying to get them to understand, to try to open their eyes, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of the cross. It is not a matter of how many people approach things like that? I mean, there are groups of Christians like that. Well, I go to this particular show because there's signs. There's signs of the Holy Spirit's work. No. No. There are not signs that indicate that the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is working by the fact that we're in church anyway. Okay, he draws us and he leads us there. There's a work of the Holy Spirit in our baptism, in our confirmations, and we'll receive the Eucharist. That's a work of the Holy Spirit, not the signs that so many people like to see. That's ancillary. They're for a reason. They point to something. Our Lord doesn't, he's performed all these miracles, and he starts talking of signs. What signs does he talk about? People. He talks about individuals. He said, Jonah was a sign. You'll have no other sign but Jonah, and the sign that he was to the Ninevites. And what did Jonah do to the Ninevites? He went and told them God said he was going to lay waste to their city. And what did they do? What was their reaction? They were scared to death because they took Jonah's word seriously, because Jonah was obviously a prophet of God. And if he said God's going to destroy this place, he was going to do it. And when we approach the old, it's not because he didn't wind up destroying it then. So there was no cataclysmic sign. The sign was Jonah himself and his message. He interjects in this whole thing. It almost looks like it comes out of nowhere. He talks about the Queen of the South coming and asking for wisdom from Solomon. She came seeking the wisdom of Solomon. What is that all about? He's using Solomon as an individual as a sign of salvation. Solomon was a sign of what was going to come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Because both of these signs, Jonah and Solomon, Jesus looks at them and says, and greater, there is one greater than Jonah here. There is one greater than Solomon here. He points to these individuals as signs. He's trying to get the Pharisees to expand their understanding of what a sign is, what it's about, what it entails. You know, Jesus' message to them isn't, I'm not going to do what you ask of me because I'm sick of you. His message is just the opposite. If only you would repent. If only you would be like the Queen of the South and come seeking wisdom from me because I'm greater than Solomon. If you would just come seeking wisdom from me, if you would just come seeking and listen to what I say in this warning, because every time I open my mouth, before I start saying, I say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you would just listen to me every time I said that, you would repent like the Ninevites did when Jonah spoke, because one greater than Jonah is standing in front of you. They were signs. I'm the reality. This is the truth of the matter. This is what we need to appreciate. This is our Lord's message. He's not chastising them. He's trying to get them to see. As I said about even if one would, as our Lord preached to them, even if one would come back from the dead, they would not believe. They didn't believe when he rose from the dead. They took him down from the cross and buried him, and he rose again 3 days later. They didn't believe that. They couldn't explain it away, so what do they have to do? Dump large sums of money on the soldiers so that they'd make up a story or tell the story that the Pharisees made up. This is the reality of things. This is your faith. Everything that we read in Scripture, everything that we have for us sacramentally, they are signs, they are visible signs of an invisible reality. They're the visible signs of something that so far exceeds them that we can't even imagine. This is why when we partake of them here, we should glory in them. Because although they are sensible signs, they are still something to point forward to something that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor can heart conceive of the glories that await us. This is what we have to understand about Jesus' message. It's not about miracles. It's not about what the Holy Spirit does in this church and that church or when these kind of groups of people get together. It's a matter of the message in totality. It is a matter of all the prophets, priests. It is all a matter of all the martyrs and the saints. This is the reality of things. They were all signed what Jesus Christ will do and has done through men and women in this world. Not stuff, not ostentatious displays, not dramatic presentations, but the Word of God. This is what we need to appreciate. This is his message. If only we would repent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.